I was also sitting next to a guy who was like coughing up nacho cheese the whole time. It was really weird. Welcome to DL Gaming. I'm Bobby.
I'm Emilio.
And I'm Nick.
Joining us remotely. All right, with our brand new layout so you can see everybody now. We made it happen. All right. It's been a wild week. I'm back to work. I'm finishing final projects for school. But despite all that, I feel like I've actually been gaming a lot. The only problem is I haven't been playing anything new.
That's okay sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it's not what you play, but who you play it with. I've been having a great time playing with some of our European listeners, Alpha Tonic and Nyanko. He would be very proud about how I pronounced his name just now.
Nyanko.
Like, yeah.
Gnocchi.
No, it's like, so he explained it to me, like, nya is like how Japanese imitate a cat sound. So it looks like nyan, you know, like nyan cat.
Yeah.
Or that's like nyan
cat.
Yeah. And then ko means something that's small. It's like adding ito in Spanish or something. So it's like little cat, I guess.
The other day I saw a meme that's showed all the different ways in every language how they say meow, or what the cat says. It's so different in every language.
It is. It's funny because when he said that, I was like, no, a cat's meow.
Right,
like M-E-O-W. Like, how can you not hear it? But no, I guess it's open to interpretation.
Yeah, dude. maybe you could bring it up. It could have been the rooster. Because in Spanish, the rooster is kikiriki. Yeah, I know. Yeah, and here it's cock-a-doodle-doo, which, yeah. I mean, nobody can really, they're not using phonetic language.
Yeah.
Get a rooster on the phone, stat, we need him here.
All right, yeah. we got it here.
Here we go.
If you guys want to see.
It's too small for me to read.
Italian is chichi, maybe those are K sounds. Indonesian is kukurukuruyuk. Icelandic, man. I don't even know. See, the problem is I don't know how to pronounce a lot of these because the letters may have different phonetic sounds.
What is Irish? Irish looks like someone like threw a Scrabble board with fucking italics on it.
That's Gaelic. Look at Icelandic is gaga lagago.
They ain't got chickens in Iceland.
They have one and he's drunk.
it's in the zoo. It's like that old stand-up joke. It's like, you think in Africa they just got normal
Sudanese
animals like cats and dogs?
Sudanese is gongoro gongok.
Oh, you were right though about the Spanish though. It's a kitty kitty kitty.
Yeah.
Wow. Kitty kitty.
There's this guy at work. I write the schedule for our guys, and he's always like, come in lower, earlier, bro. Let me come in earlier. He wants to be there at like 2 in the morning if he can. I was like, what do you do, dude? He goes, I wake up the rooster, is what he tells me. Because he's there at least an hour ahead of time, just in case something goes down and he's available so he can go home earlier. But yeah, some people just get up super early, man.
Wow. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
Like, I get up early, but not that early. So yeah, I've been playing a lot of Killing Floor 2 and a lot of Deep Rock Galactic with them, having a good time doing that. And while I was playing Deep Rock Galactic, so I noticed something. There's a new thing that they put in a while back, and I've only ran into it once before until this week. It's called the Korlock Tyrant Weed. And it's this giant plant that you randomly stumble across in a level that has this core that you have to kill. But to make it vulnerable, you have to kill these like three branches that stick out. So you kill the three branches, then the core opens up and you have a limited time where you can do damage. Then it closes back up. It starts healing itself. You got to kill the things that heal it and kill the other three branches.
It was like a DPS check.
Not really. Like, you really, really have to coordinate. The way I'm describing doesn't make it sound that hard, but it is a lot harder than it looks. You and your team have to be coordinated. There's no way you can't do this without a team. Like, you just need a lot of damage, and you need to do it all at once, and then you need to immediately kill the things that start healing it. And a lot of times it's in difficult places. So I ran into this. I've ran into this once before, like when it first came out. Totally got annihilated. I was like, oh man, that sucked. That thing's actually pretty tough. Never saw it again until this week. Ran into it, and I was with a team that kind of knew what they were doing, and we were able to kill it. And it turns out you get quite a bit. You get about 2,500 XP and gold just from killing it. It drops these shards. So it's pretty worth it.
What are the shards for?
The shards give you the XP and the gold.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah, and 2,500, to give you an idea, like on a Hazard 4 mission, you're probably going to make about 10,000 XP and maybe like 5,000 gold. Mm. So 2,500 is a lot.
On top of the regular mission that you're in.
Yeah, well, I'm just giving you an idea to compare. So
no, I know, but like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, but you get that on top of the mission XP. So I ran into that. We were able to kill it. I was like, man, that's really cool. I hope I see that thing again. Sure enough, I did. And it was in such a difficult spot. It was just impossible for us to kill it. And it just wiped us out. It was pretty bad. And I was with a group of people who knew what they were doing. But I wish I ran into it more often because it's such a great little event that they have in there. And I had totally forgot about it. The Korlock Tyrant Weed.
See, it is unkilled by you.
Oh, no.
The one time.
The second time I ran into it, I was able to.
It's fucking great when a game you play so much that has something so rare that even you who have so much time in.
Well, it's not even that rare. Like, I just haven't been playing that much. You know, I'll dip in and maybe do a few missions for a quest, and that's about it. Oh. But I really haven't been playing a whole lot. And this week, I just happened to. That and Battlefront 2. I got back into Battlefront 2. But it's so weird with that game. I get into it. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is really fun. And then, like, 4 hours later, I'm, like, completely over it. But to the point where I'm uninstalling it.
That's a good session, dude.
Yeah, that's not bad. 4 hours. Yeah.
You're lucky you have unlimited fucking internet, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can install these 100 gig games and just delete them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really am.
That would be a month and a half for Rubber Nuts over in fucking rural Australia.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but that's pretty much been it for gaming for me this week.
The only PC gaming I did was the same game that I played last week. Last week, I played it for 2 minutes. This week, I got to play it for 10 minutes. It's a BPM, bullets per minute. I bought it because it's overwhelmingly positive. Just really quick what it is. It's like a Doom-type game that's also a rhythm shooter on top of it. A non-on-rails rhythm game, which is pretty rare. I don't know that it's been done before. Anyway, I didn't know the mechanics. I just guessed at them, and now I know a little bit more. Your damage just continuously goes up as long as you're staying on beat. And if you clear rooms with no errors, then your damage almost like doubles. And you just keep getting these modifiers. And your reloading and your dashing also is in the beat. So it's kind of like boom, 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 boom. And that's all going on while there's like, you know, music going on, like the guitar riffs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's a fine game. But then when you have one of these clear rooms where you did everything right, got it. It feels fucking cool. It feels really good because you're like kind of bobbing your head. Everything's dead and you have full health on top of the musical treat that it was, as opposed to you fucking up chords and shit. I could definitely recommend this. As far as how the game goes, it takes a lot from Binding of Isaac. You know, it's a room with four possible doors. And then you can kind of, you know what some of the doors are before you go in based on the shape of the door. So you know which one is the vendor, you know which one is the boss. So if you're not ready for the vendor or the boss, you don't commit. Everything else is just random. Very a la Binding of Isaac. Music is like Binding of Isaac. But the gameplay is nothing like it. But, you know, it took a lot of, heavily inspired, I would say. And some Deep Rock Galactic in there, dude. The spiders look exactly, it's almost like they took the models out of Deep Rock Galactic and made the spiders for, what are those called?
The swarmers in Deep Rock
swarmers
Galactic.
Yeah, swarmers, and then the ones with the crystals on the back, too.
Do we know if this BPM is an Unreal Engine game?
It would say here, right? Wouldn't it say somewhere on the Steam page?
I don't know. Sometimes it does, but I don't. You might have to look on the Wikipedia page.
The one with the crystal in the back, dude, that farts out the clouds and shit.
The big one. That's not a crystal. The Praetorian.
The Praetorians, yeah. It's not a crystal?
No, it's just like those light up bugs on the East Coast. Or they it's just got a phosphorus butt.
The weak point, aka the glowy bits.
Yeah.
Anyway, check this game out. I think it's cool.
Nice. And that game's about $20.
Yeah.
Worth the $20.
Based on my 12 minutes of play? Sure.
Wow.
So speaking of Binding of Isaac, what do you think about the newest DLC releasing on the 31st? You excited?
I try not to think about it, man. Same as the other times you've asked me. It's like... I know I don't have time to play. Well, maybe I'll have time by the time it comes out. But yeah, I mean, it's everything you wish for. Plus it has, I believe it has true co-op. I don't think it's like... One of the, it's not like a little ghost buddy that's following you around that like asynchronous co-op. It's true co-op with two babies.
From my understanding, each player will be able to control a baby that they can choose. You can't choose the same baby. If someone dies, there is a revive mechanic. However, there's a currency behind the revive mechanic.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're not going to give you anything for free.
No. But then again, like so much of the game you can unlock via... two-player, like so many of the characters, it's going to be so much easier if someone just chooses Azazel and you play whoever you need to be to unlock the achievement.
Oh, yeah. To have somebody like an ace in your pocket. One guy's doing the power leveling. That's basically what it would be like, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because Azazel is so powerful. But I bet you they'll have like combos. You have to play as this guy and this guy. See, I don't want to go down this road, man, because this is going to be Binding of Isaac podcast again.
Three new characters, man. You excited?
I know that because I don't read things because I don't want to know about it. Now I got to think about it.
I'm sorry.
Is one of them Jesus?
Sorry.
Oh, man. What have you been playing?
But yes, I'm excited.
World of Warcraft came out, the new expansion, right?
Yes, I have been ignoring my family and my obligations because of this.
Typical WoW behavior.
So... this coming week, the biggest content drop, because the way they do expansions now, so that like the people with no lives don't get ahead of everybody, they release parts of the expansions at incremental times, aka every week. So last week, they dropped the actual expansion with like dungeons and stuff. This week, they dropped a little bit more things to be able to gear you. And then this coming week, they're releasing the raid. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with raiding in World of Warcraft. However, yeah, the name of the raid is called Castle Nathria, and it's a 40-man raid.
They went back to 40 men?
40 and 25 men, yeah.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
40 and 25, wow.
So it's called Flex. So you can actually get between 20 and 40 people, and the way the system works is that it'll adjust the difficulty based on how many people you have.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so me and my friends, we're going to be playing Wednesday and Thursday on Heroic, which is the step above the normal difficulty, even though we haven't even done the raid once.
Good luck.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a lot of wiping.
Yeah, well,
I said that's what it always is at first, until somebody figures out, like cracks the code, then everybody just copies them.
Well, here's the thing about that statement. So there's one thing I don't like about Modern World of Warcraft, and that's all the content for the patch is released on the public test server. So all the fights have already been revealed. Mm. All the things you need to dodge, all the things you need to do, carry, move, and hit have already been revealed. So as long as everybody watches the video, they should know what to do.
I mean, you don't have to watch the video, Nick.
Well, in the game, sure. World of Warcraft, they actually have like an encyclopedia you can pull up and it'll tell you this is what this boss does. This is what you need to do if you're a healer.
Within the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many of the add-ons like Deadly Boss Mod and a couple of other things have been added to the game. And what Bobby's referring to is known as the Adventurer's Guide. And that is something that like it's like Bob the Builder throws out bricks every 30 seconds and those bricks need to be destroyed by the ranged combat. And it'll say that in the Adventurer's Guide.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, you're going to go look it up anyway. They might as well keep you on WoW and not go into web pages, I guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, the last time I really got into WoW, I kind of realized that's what it was. It's just kind of like study for the test, you know? Yeah. Just memorize everything and then go in and do it. Watch the YouTube video and
you can try to do it.
Yeah, man. I would love to get back into just the pet part of it, but you know, it's a slippery slope.
I'd like to go back to the part where I didn't have a job and all I had to do was play video games all day. Yeah.
Man, just do, you know, play classic, ignore your family, don't have a job, get fired, move back in with your mom, and it'd be like old times.
That's true. I mean, that is an option.
Well, except you'd be a lot older.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I haven't really heard too much buzz about it. I feel like when the other expansion came out, I got that pet, Mr. Bigglesworth. Great pet, actually. When the other expansion came out, I feel like everybody was getting back into it. Maybe it's just because I'm not getting back into it. I'm sure people are out there playing it. It must be popular.
So we're talking. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. What I will say about this expansion, and this is coming from someone that has played every expansion, this expansion has probably been the best one in the sense of there's always something to do. And that's not to say that there's something to grind towards or there's something to waste your time in. There's always something fun to do, whether it's pet battles, whether it's running mythic dungeons, whether it's doing daily quests. And some of the daily quests are fun. It's like ride on the back of a dragon and throw fucking bombs on people.
But the daily quests get so repetitive after you've been doing it for a while. And you kind of got to do them because the rewards are pretty good. And there are pet daily quests too, which I really focused on near the end of my WoW career. But they get so repetitive because you're basically doing the same ones over and over again. But I find it interesting, and I noticed when I was playing last, that they were kind of doing what you were talking about, where they're trying to slow people down. They're trying to compress it. Because you have people who just do nothing but play the game, and of course they get further ahead. And the game really catered toward those people in the early days, especially like vanilla. But now they're trying more and more to like create stopping points. So like basically there's like a fall off. If you play for like a straight day, like eventually you're going to hit a point where your time versus progress is very low. You're going to be spending a lot of time and making very little progress. So what people end up doing is they just make multiple accounts, multiple characters. So a lot of the people when I last played, a lot of the people who played nonstop, they would just keep switching characters, and they had like every single class max level. And then, you know, like a couple months in, and they're just like, ah, I'm bored. I'm like, well, yeah, dude, you play like 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
Is the situation now. I do have one of those friends that literally has every class, not only every class max level, but every race of class to the max level. So human warrior, human mage, all to max level.
Hey, Nick, can you speak on the roguelike-ness of this new expansion?
So I actually did this right before I hopped onto the podcast because I told Leslie I had to do it. And it's something that I said to you guys and the fans that I would do and be able to speak on. So it's called Torghast Tower. And the way it works is that it's your normal roguelike where you get a power in the beginning and you get a power at the end of every floor. And it's like, oh, your earth shock does double damage, or your cooldown of your earth elemental comes down to whatever, right? The floors are random. You can get like bonus floors where you don't even fight a single person and you get like abilities and stuff. And the bosses are somewhat random. It changes every week. There's, from what I understand, 10 wings, which are all different themes and different types of enemies. There's some enemies that are bad for mages. There's some enemies that are bad for rogues and like things like that. The roguelikeness is kind of misrepresented.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very strong from what you said, because it's the same dungeon all week, right? And then it goes to a different dungeon?
Yes. So the way it works is that there's different tiers of the same dungeon. Okay. So there's two wings revealed at the beginning of the week, right? It'll be like the lava wing and like the undead wing, right? And you have each wing has a level. So there's level 1, 2, and 3, and that's the difficulty level. But each wing also has floors, and the floors are what you get your powers on. So it's like, I want to do, okay, I already did tier 1 this week. I want to do tier 2 so I can get more currency. And so tier 2 is going to add more difficulty, more shit to do. And it's very predictable. The thing that kind of throws everybody for a loop is that you can just go straight to tier 3 and not do tier 1 or tier 2 because you get the rewards for tier 1 and tier 2. And so the people like myself who are real sweaty and do everything at once, I can just get everything done in just one try. So,
huh? So you played 1, 2, 3, so you'd be more powerful for 3. Is that right?
Yes, in the first week, correct. That's correct. So I did 1, 2, and 3 because I sucked in the first week. I didn't have any gear. I didn't run any dungeons. I didn't do anything. So I did 1. Got strong enough to do 2, got strong enough to do 3. But now the second week, I'm already strong enough to do 3, so I'm just going to do it right away, and I get the rewards for 1 and 2.
I see.
If that makes any sense.
Does it sound this fun? Well, when Bobby talked about it like last month, it sounded awesome, and now you're making it sound not so cool. Do you like it?
Well, I do like it. What I will say, though, if you're a real sweaty player like me or some of my friends, it will not be fun because it's like, it becomes an obligation because the whole point of doing it is being able to craft a legendary item, whether it be like a legendary chest piece or a legendary headpiece, whatever your class wants to use. And so it's like, oh, I did all my mythic dungeons, all the dungeons I can only run once this week. It's almost Tuesday. Fuck, I got to do my Torghast tower. So I got to spend 30 minutes running around this tower by myself, defeating all these enemies. And it becomes more of an obligation than it does to become actually being fun.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right, dude. If it was a true roguelike, the dungeon should be randomly generated every time.
It is randomly generated, but the thing is, I don't think that the reward should be the same thing every time. Because every time you do it, you get something called Soul Ash, which is just a currency to craft the mythic. It'd be different. It's like, every time you do it, you get ore or skin or meat or whatever you need, you know, to improve your stuff. But it's really just like, get it done once this week and you're done for the whole time. It's not really a roguelike. It was misadvertised.
Huh. All right. Well, good. I'm glad I didn't get back into WoW for it.
Yeah, no. Very good call.
I've heard this. I'm just going to do this because I haven't done this on podcast. I won't do it again, but... hey Siri, order anal lube. Hey Alexa, order anal lube. Hopefully that activates everybody's smart speakers.
Yeah, you forgot, okay, Google, order anal lube.
You have done that on the podcast before. It's been a while.
It's Christmas time, dude. I'm thinking about them.
Well, I think most people are listening.
Fuck, my Alexa activated.
I don't think anybody would like play our podcast out of speakers that other people could hear. Seems like something you listen.
There's a lot of
listen to with earbuds.
People play it in the car, and okay. Now there's Alexa in the car. Now people have that going on.
Oh God!
Speaking of something that's like WoW, but nowhere near as good. Today was my famous 9 hours in a cell, basically doing my elevator work. So I have so much free time, but I can't leave this like 6x3 confined space. And I have to work every 10 minutes. So it's like I can't play Switch. That would be too much. So it's like I'm confined to my phone for 9 hours, which I'm not complaining. It's great. It's my favorite day of the week for work. So I tried different games. I played that Harry Potter game up until today where I deleted it. I was like, okay, I got to the point. I didn't hit a paywall. I don't think there is a paywall in that game. But I just hit a point where I'm like, okay, I've exhausted the new stuff. I think, I don't know. Did Leslie get into it, Nick?
She did not. Okay. I would say fortunately we have a child that requires a lot of our time and she also works from home. And so she is the type of person where if she's working from home, she doesn't want to look at another screen as soon as she's done.
So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I still recommend it. It's probably the best mobile game I've played this year, for sure. For sure. Easily. Here's some shitty ones that I didn't like. AFK Arena is one of these other groups.
Yeah. They've been advertising hard on Duolingo.
Oh, yeah.
AFK Arena.
Yeah, they go hard in the paint with advertising, and their product is polished as shit. I mean, if you look at the artwork, it's fucking beautiful, man. But that, of course, that's not what the game looks like. That's the that's just the intro
cutscenes.
Cutscene. Yeah. Although the game looks great, too. It's one of these, I don't know what you call it, time-wasting group battle arena games where... you could set it to automatic battle. And right there, you've already lost me because, like, if the AI could just play and just play the games automatically to the same or as close to how I would do it, I mean, what else is there left? It's basically all you're doing is inventory management. Even that has a single button. Mm-hmm. So it's just a, like what you said, Bobby, you nailed it. It's compulsion. Little pop-ups, little things you got to click all over the place. And the game is macro managing, really. Keeping the game running while the characters run themselves. Even like I've played other games where, you know, to level up, you got to spend XP, right? So you click on it. And then it says, hey, you can hold down the button and just level up all you want. So then I held it up, and then now my common character was level 37, and my other guys were 7, because I held down the button and spent all my XP on one guy. And then I was all fucked up. But I mean, it didn't matter, because I wasn't going to continue playing this game. But I know it's wildly popular, but I keep downloading these, like, 4.8
games. All games are rated that high, though.
And I'm just like, I don't understand.
Well, having a game that's rated like 4.7, 4.8, that doesn't really tell you anything, because they're all rated like that. And I think a lot of them they give you some sort of benefit if you rate them 5 stars. Like, rate 5 stars, get some free in-game currency or something. So yeah. There's like a transaction involved.
So that's actually something that's not only common in mobile games, but it's actually common in Amazon right now. And it's rate 5 stars and you get a $20 rebate on your $50 pressure cooker you bought. And it's something that's really bad. And oh, yeah. I'm looking at these videos that you guys posted on AFK Arena, and there's a name for this, but I can't remember it. And it's a Chinese name. And it's like, it's something impact kind of game. And it's a game where it's a mindless time sink. And it's really it's like a lottery kind of thing, where it's like you automize everything you do in the hopes of something happening, and you get joy on that random thing happening. Mm-hmm. And it's something that has become really, I don't want to use this word, but a cancer that has been on mobile gaming.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, Raid Shadow Legends is the same thing. I mean, and so many of the
Say that, like, mobile gaming at one point didn't have all this stuff, though. I kind of feel like mobile gaming always was like this.
I would say yes and no, because you have games, and this is going to date me so much, is like Angry Birds, where you can't auto pay to back in the day, you couldn't auto pay to win, but it's more interactive. Like, it's fun, but like these, I can't really remember the name, but these gamble games or these lottery games or these slot machine games where you really just let the game play itself. You don't really do anything. It's not really a game.
Yeah.
They're super popular.
And I went through about, I only brought this one up because it's one of the heavy hitters. I deleted probably 4 games today, and it just, no, that's why, the Harry Potter games it was a shining light. You could just play it and have fun.
Why don't you play something like chess? Like, why don't you play like an actual like PvP-esque game?
Because every once in a while I do have to work. Like every 5 or 6 minutes I have to like do 2 seconds or 5 seconds of work. It's weird. What else? Oh, this is also how I spent the time in the elevator today. I got caught up on Mandalorian season 2. Bobby, where are you at with this? I need you to...
Haven't started season two yet. Oh,
God. You finished season one?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not going to... No spoilers. But season one was basically introducing you to the characters and making you either like them or whatever, however you felt with them. But you know about the characters to a certain extent. The
it's usually what stories do.
The playset has been made. Season two, they take the playset, they put those characters through some stuff, but then there's fan service like crazy, man. There's stuff from the Clone Wars. I don't want to get into it exactly what it is. There's so many like Easter eggs for the deep Star Wars fan. Plus, it's on its own to like somebody who just likes entertaining shows. It's just like it's entertaining that way as well. So it's good on the deep fan level, and the casual fan can both enjoy. And then the fucking production value is like a fucking, it's like Lord of the Rings, not Lord of the Rings, like Jesus, the Game of Thrones. It's like every week it's a feature length film, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. How many episodes deep are we in?
Five, six.
Okay, so like about almost halfway. About halfway.
We're in six of eight, I believe.
Yeah.
But so they haven't introduced any new characters. They're just working on the ones from last season.
I mean, everybody you always meet is new character.
So not to reveal too much, and Emilio is probably going to agree with me like on this situation. I feel like the next episode and then the finale after that, we are getting to a Avengers-like situation.
Yeah, it's like going to bring two worlds together? Is that what you're saying?
Where everybody we've seen before that can be deemed as a viable character into the storyline is going to be introduced back again.
Huh. No, what I was thinking is the way that I think that it's going is that somehow it's going to bleed into or also... at least show or mention the Obi-Wan show. So they're going to kind of...
Yeah, I'd imagine there's going to be a tie-in there.
Yeah, there's going to be some sort of tie-in.
I would say that's correct, and I would like to think that, but I think this is a one-shot character or a one-shot series. I think whatever we see with Baby Yoda and things like that, we will see fleshed out in later episodes, but I don't think it's going to directly branch into another show, because if that was the case, let's say, you know, well, Obi-Wan adopts Baby Yoda.
You know, the Obi-Wan show has been announced.
Yeah, of course. But what I'm saying is we're not going to see Baby Yoda being passed off into Obi-Wan.
No, that's not what I was saying, but I'm saying at least I think there's going to be an Obi-Wan like, cameo.
Yeah, they'll have like a little crossover episode like they did with 90s sitcoms.
But anyway, I've been, much like the boys, I'm enjoying season two better than season one. And that's saying something, man.
I think The Boys is a fresh take on an old topic, but it's also something, it's a new IP, and that's why me and you like it so much. It's been around for a while, but the fact that we're seeing realistic human superheroes is definitely an awesome topic. Before I finish the sentence, shout out Curd. That is Bill Burr. Bill Burr is in The Mandalorian.
He's in season one and season two. He's like a very, very minor character. He was also on Breaking Bad, which I totally forgot until he mentioned it on a podcast. Like, I knew he was in it, and then I totally forgot, and then he brought it up.
He's been in a lot of TV.
Yeah.
For the bingo card, what podcast was it on, Emilio?
What are we talking about? Oh, it wasn't on Rogan, I don't think. Was it on Rogan?
Thank you. That's the I in bingo. That's the free card. Yes, it was Rogan.
Oh, okay. I'm not going up to Pete. The alcohol's right on the other side of that door. I'm just going to refill my glass.
All right. Yep, got some catching up to do on The Mandalorian.
So, wow. Bobby, I apologize. I wholeheartedly apologize for that. I do not mean to demean you like that and call you Emilio. By any chance, have you heard any of the Metal Gear Solid news this week?
No, I have not. What news?
So there is, from what I believe, two big pieces of news for Metal Gear Solid. Oscar Isaac will be playing.
Oh, I did hear that.
Solid Snake in the Metal Gear Solid movie being produced by Sony Movie Production.
Who's Oscar Isaac?
He's the guy who played Poe Dameron in the newest.
Oh, okay.
In the newest.
He's good.
Star Wars movie.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. He was in Ex Machina. He's been in a lot of things.
Which one was he in Ex Machina? The genius?
He was the bad guy. Yeah, he was the bad guy.
I liked him more in that.
I love him in Ex Machina. It's such a good movie.
Yeah.
The second Metal Gear Solid news is that Konami sold the license to Metal Gear Solid 1 to be able to be remastered and redone. The core announcements have been the storyline will be the same. However, gameplay aspects will be drastically different. AKA they won't be doing a top down view of the game.
Oh wait, are we talking about the NES game?
No. Metal Gear Solid, not Metal Gear. Oh, okay. Metal Gear 2.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they're probably looking at all Snake. That Resident Evil money that's being made with the remakes and wanting to get a piece of that, which is a smart move.
Yeah.
If you count this as Metal Gear Solid News 2.5 or 3, aka if you know Hideo Kojima, Hideo Kojima just got the rights to make Silent Hills. If you guys recall earlier, he made the PT demo, which everybody loved.
Hey Nick, you need to go on our Discord and search Werconius, because every other thing he posts is about Metal Gear Solid. About
like, oh no, me and Werconius are best friends. We're the one that's that are managing the Secret Santa.
Let's talk about that. So the Secret Santa, you could get to go to our Discord first. Easiest way to go there to go to dlgaming.net. You have the link for everything. Click on that. Get to our Discord, sign up, say hi. Everybody's gonna say hi to you. And then after that, click on about, and then you can find the link to our Elfster where we were doing a gift exchange. And that should be fun.
Hey, first of all, don't say we're doing a gift exchange. You're not part of it, and neither is Bobby. And and second of all, Bobby, I see your tan real nice.
Isn't it funny?
I just looked at your camera.
Isn't it funny when
tan? I got a tan?
You look tanner, man. You look healthier. Tan. You look like you got some vitamin D for once.
It must be the camera. No, on Sundays I go out running, so it's probably that. Got a little sun today. It's December and it's still like way too hot outside. Like the nights are kind of cold, but like when I go outside in the daylight, I'm just like, dude, this is not December. This can't be.
Isn't it funny, Bobby, when you let the kids do something and then they think they're so proudful because they think they did it on their own? It's okay. You did real good. You did real good, Nick, with that. But yeah, we allowed them to do a gift exchange this year. And so you should sign up. And we'll see how big it's going to get. I also signed up for the Reddit one for the first time. Last year, I guess 74,000 people did it. People were posting, you know, the best shit gets posted. So I joined that one too. So why not?
Hmm. So one thing to elaborate on the Elfster DLG gift exchange that we're doing this year, there is specific guidelines. For example, if you would like a physical gift, you will have to put your address. If you don't want to put your address and you still want to receive a physical gift, what you can do is you can put a fake address, like a 555 Rose Common in Illinois or whatever. And what will happen is that the person that is gifting you an item can go ahead and ask you for your address, and then you can put that information into Amazon, Best Buy, or Target, or whatever website that Elfster currently coincides with. The second thing is that if you don't even want to do a physical gift, the person who gets you as a gifter can ask you for your Steam username and then look at your Steam wish list and then buy you whatever you'd like.
Yep.
All within $20.
Poor guy at 555 Rosen Common is going to get so many fucking dildos.
Oh, yikes. All right.
Thanks for putting that together, Nick. More on that later. What else? Oh, I think we should talk about our movies on the DL. We did 1917.
Yep. Last episode was 1917.
Yep. And that should be up. And that's a Patreon exclusive. So if you want to join that super cool club and get a green name on our Discord, it only costs you $5 a month. And there's other tiers there. You can check it out at also dlgaming.net.
And we're open to suggestions on the next gaming or movies on the DL. So, you know, add us on Discord and let us know what you think would be good. We like to do modern movies, good movies too, like something that we can talk about at length.
Yeah, like Parasite was like a perfect movie to do something on. Although recently, I think our my favorite one so far has been Social Dilemma, I think. I also want to branch out into different genres, maybe get out of our comfort zone. I told Bobby, I've been trying to push anime at Bobby, and then he's like, what? And I'm like, I don't know.
And so, did you say anime?
Yeah.
Bobby, you don't like anime?
I mean, that's what everybody would like you to believe, all right? That's
even after Obama was like, we thank Japan for anime. You don't like it?
No, it's not that I don't like anime. It's just that 90% of anime is just, you know, like, bad.
Wow. You relate to my wife, where she hates the anime noises in video games, like in Final Fantasy VII Remake, where after every line, they're like,
Nanda.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually got some really good recommendations from some people on our Discord, from Nyanko and Hector Krios, who hang out on our Discord. We've been talking a lot, and they've been suggesting me, because I've told them about the anime that I do enjoy, and then they've kind of given me references off of that. So I got a few that, what do I have? Wolf Children? Wolf something?
Tell me, Bobby, so I can give you something.
I don't know, man, because everybody thinks they know the good anime. They're like, well, all right, four seasons of One Punch Man, all right, then you got to watch My Hero Academia. It's like, no, dude, that stuff sucks. Like, give me some.
Those are what we call genin anime. Suck, those are literally specifically made for 15-year-old boys.
Yes.
Did you watch One Punch Man?
I watched a few episodes, and then I watched every anime show. I've watched a few episodes. The one with the big guy, the Attack on Titan. Yeah, dude, I need a movie, because a movie just gets to the point. Because if an anime show will go on for like 9 seasons, yeah, and just like
that is true,
totally repeat itself visually too. Not even just like story elements, like visually, yeah, they reuse the same things over and over again. It's just so boring.
Let me give you something, Bobby. This is something of your time, I would say, in your 20s or 30s. I think you're in your 80s now. but have you ever heard of Ghost in the Shell?
Yes, and I've seen Ghost in the Shell, and I did like that one. I liked it better than Akira, too. Like, Akira, I've seen those ones. Those are older ones, and I've seen those when I was much younger, and I watch them again and like didn't really like Akira that much, but Ghost in the Shell I did enjoy. I'm not going to watch the 10 other ones.
Fist of the North Star?
Haven't seen that. Someone's mentioning Heavy Metal in chat. That's not really anime, but I've seen that. They made the remake Heavy Metal 2000, which was supposedly really bad. But that's kind of a tough one. I don't know, dude. That was like that Ralph Bakshi animation, like back in, you know, like late 70s, like Wizards. It's, I don't know, man. I don't know if it holds up as well. South Park did a funny spoof of it.
let me give you this topic, okay? Imagine an anime. Its name is called Drifters, okay?
Okay.
The topic of the show is that heaven and hell are separate entities, and in purgatory, specific members of history fight each other, okay? Jesus Christ is perceivably the bad guy.
Yeah, see, you're losing me, dude. This sounds like a kid playing with his little toy soldiers or something. It sounds like
it's a very mature anime in the sense of the topics that it discusses and things like that.
Okay,
and the violence and everything. It is what I would call an old man laugh anime, which we're like, oh, that's a funny topic.
But is it a movie?
No, it's a one-shot anime, which means that it's a one season, one and done.
As in, aka not renewed for a second season.
Yeah, I mean, I know. So High Score Girl.
There's specific animes.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, there's specific animes that are written and done for one season that will never be made again. If you want another one that's talking about like human interaction or human nature, there's another one called Inuyashiki, which is about a man and a sociopath, an old man and a sociopath that are both given the same powers by like, aliens. I
don't really care about people getting magic powers from aliens. So like I'm okay, dude. Like I can check that stuff out and maybe it'll be good. But that's kind of my problem with anime. It's just way too much fantasy and sci-fi. So like, for instance, Perfect Blue is probably my favorite one so far. Out of all the anime I've seen, I think that's the best.
But you'll watch 15 Jason movies.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm not saying like my taste is any better. I'm just saying it's a different kind of bad. Like, I can't really.
Yeah, I will.
Here you go. I see you, Sniper, in the chat. I'm going to go ahead and put that in the chat. That's the name of the anime. It's called Inuyashiki. Bobby, Nick, you Nick, watch X-Men X.
We have
X.
a long list.
Yeah.
Get on Attack on Titan. See,
that's the other problem, too, is like, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll check out anime, and then everyone's just like, anime? You want anime? You want anime? And then I get like five nerds coming up to me recommending 20,000 things. I'll tell you, all right, this is what I've got. I've got Wolf Children coming up. I've got, okay, I don't know where the other ones are. Here they are. Jinro, the Wolf Brigade.
What about, so that's all like fantasy, like alternate history stuff.
The Garden.
Have you ever heard of like Cowboy Bebop?
Yeah, I've seen Cowboy Bebop on Adult Swim.
What about Trigun?
No.
You would love Trigun. It's one of those.
He keeps going down the list.
He keeps going down the list. This is what I'm saying.
You're like, I saw that one. And then he got to what you didn't see. And he's like, that's the one. That's the one that's going to flip you to our side.
It's so hard for people to recommend anime without like, it's like, think really hard and just give me like the best of the best. And then I'll watch it and I'll be like, it was okay. You know?
Ice House says Trigun is my shit.
Okay,
Nick, you have Attack on Titan on season 4. Let's segue.
So Attack on Titan season 4 premiered
smoothest
today.
Smoothest segue ever.
Yes, Attack on Titan premiered today. It will premiere every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 3:45 Eastern Standard Time, 12:45 Pacific Standard Time. This is a very interesting final season of an anime where it just completely jumps 4 years from the last season, and there's a lot of things that we don't know. There's a lot of things that we do know, and it's an anime that where season 1 and 2 are great, but season 3 and 4 really make it. The amount of surprise and narrative that have been applied from season 3 and season 4, even just the first episode of season 4, which is the newest season, have been absolutely amazing. I look forward to the finale season and to see what happens and concludes the whole entire story. But we go from a 14-year-old, boy with a short ADHD attention span anime from season 1 and 2 to a grown man anime with plot points and great writing in season 3 and 4.
Cool, man. I'm glad that this is going to wrap up finally for the fans. I was wondering how long is it going to be, go on for. One thing, I saw about a season and a half, I want to say. Mm-hmm. One thing I really liked about it is like when tactical maneuvers were being done, it explained them in a tactical manner. Like it would go to the above top down view and be like, these guys are flanking from the right. These guys are going around all the way left and there's arrows and shit. Like if they were playing football and you understand the scene so much more, because no matter how much books and stuff try to explain a battle scene, you're not going to get it. It just doesn't work. You could say these guys flank to the left all day. You don't know what kind of terrain they have to go over, all this stuff. So that's what I really appreciated about Attack on Titan. I did carry it on with, because same thing, Bobby's complaint is valid. There is so much fluff in anime. Like, you come from the Dragon Ball Z era, Nick. So, you were already conditioned to enjoy this, where, I mean, dude, finally, Goku's going to fight Vegeta. This is it. Hey, guys, let's run home and watch it. We run home and watch it. Guess what? That whole episode is them floating around each other talking for 30 minutes, and then you have to wait till the next day. So they fucking...
Wait till next time on Dragon Ball Z.
They can fuck right off, dude. They can fuck right off with all that bullshit.
Let me get the old man version for you, okay? Because I'm the younger one of this three. There's a thing called Dragon Ball Kai, where over 110 hours of the show has been cut, and all that bullshit in between the fights and everything has been cut, and it's official canon.
Is it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube, Funimation, and Crunchyroll. It's called Dragon Ball Kai.
Hmm.
All the bullshit filler, all the I once ate rice on a dock on October 13th with my dad, and it made me realize that rats are valuable animals is all gone. All that shit, gone.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's like Phantom Menace 1.5. Okay, cool. So the other thing that's very much like that, I just got into Ready Player 2. I'm on the fifth chapter. I'm listening to it while I work. And what I really like about this guy writing, and what really made the first book for me, was the explanation of everything. So there's no reference that doesn't go unexplained. They're like, and then, you know, he's painted this color in reference to this movie from 1983. And just like every single thing is explained, why it's there. The whole thing is like fan service. Bobby, did you read the book? The first one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would have sworn that would have been your favorite book of all time, just because of
I enjoyed it. Dude, it's young adult, though. Like, it's for
that's
kids.
That's true.
You know, it's not like...
Well, is it, though? But it's all 80s references.
Yeah.
Or did you read the adaptation for the film?
No. It's for, like, older people, yeah, to reminisce on something. But the writing level is like young adults. And it is kind of for kids, too. It's like a story about like a young teenage boy, you know, saving the world and getting the girl.
Right.
Like, I really enjoyed it when I read it, but I feel like the more I look back on it, the less or the more I question that. You know, I'm like, was it really that good? And I think that's kind of the movie's fault, because I watched the movie and I was just like, this happens every time that I read a book. It happened with Ender's Game as well. Like, I saw the movie and I was just like, ugh, no, yeah, don't, no, not digging it.
I liked it the second time I watched it.
I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah.
So I was also sitting next to a guy who was like coughing up nacho cheese the whole time. It was really weird. It was so gross, dude. Huh. Like the whole movie, this guy's just like wet coughing sounds right next to me.
So what's interesting about this, everybody knows I have a terrible memory, but as soon as like, I would say three sentences into Ready Player 2, which pick up exactly... Like, he takes off his headset from, like, defeating the Dark Lord or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And that's where it picks up.
Just gets right into it.
And
that, by the way.
Yeah, the entire... It just all came back to me. Because it's the same guy doing the doing the reading. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. Something about it, everything just clicked. And it might as well have been yesterday that I finished reading Ready Player One. So, I got right back into it, and I'm enjoying it.
I am so far behind on podcasts and audiobooks, and I just haven't been reading that much because I've been so busy with other stuff.
Well, you don't have a commute as much.
Yeah, well, I don't drive. That's why I'm behind on podcasts and audiobooks. But I usually like read actual books too, but it's been a while just with class. I haven't had the time. So I'm looking forward to like next week or two when I'm done with class and I'll have 2 weeks vacation.
Cuddle up by a book.
What it sounds like, Bobby, is that you need to join the Secret Santa. Me or Emilio needs to get you, and we'll buy you one of the Horus Heresy books, and you'll join the fan club.
Oh, speaking of which, I finished the third book. I want to say I finished the fourth book too. I don't know. It's all becoming a blur now because it's really not that huge of a story in a lot of books because of all the detail. I like detail. I'm learning. They go into what the armor looks like. why it looks that way, where it was fashioned, stuff like that. I like all that stuff. Just like Ready Player One, and just like Attack on Titan. I'm getting to the point where, like, I already know what's gonna happen. It's happening. The thing's happening. The thing that happens is happening. Like, the Horus Heresy is happening in Book 4. I don't really need to go more, and I'm really interested way more in the aliens than I am these human guys. So I think I'm going to break off. That's why I started listening to Ready Player 2, just because, like, I'm ready to break off. Not because I'm not enjoying it, but I need some fucking alien action. So I'm going to read one where these guys, now that I understand the inner workings of the Marines, I'm going to read when they fight the orcs, when they fight the Tyranids, when they fight the Tau. And yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. And I hope that the books are as good for those ones than the core set is. The guy who reads it is amazing, dude. He's so good. That's it.
What I will say is that you will get those books. Just don't expect that much of a descriptive nature when it comes to Tyranids of all people.
Yeah, because there's not much.
Because it's like Tyranids hungry, Tyranids go nom.
Yeah.
Like that. That's all you get, unfortunately. But when it comes to Tau, Eldar, Orcs, anything like that, unfortunately, the majority of the time it's from the Imperium's perspective. But you do get some books where it's written from the, the alien races from perspective. So,
yeah. Speaking of aliens, Alien Worlds on Netflix is doing really well. It's a really interesting take on a nature special. It bounces between creatures on Earth and possible alien counterparts. So it will talk about how rhinoceros beetles or rhino beetles, whatever they're called, they have that huge appendage to like wrestle other beetles, mm-hmm. and how that would apply, that might look on a planet that has double the gravity that we do. So on a planet that has double the gravity, the atmosphere is twice as thick. So, well, on this planet that they're presuming exists. So even though it's incredibly hard to jump or take flight, you once in flight, you can fly forever because the atmosphere is so thick. So they were talking about these, like, those things. They just fly around and eat seeds that are floating around the sky because those also float forever. And so there's just like these peaceful things, kind of like sky whales. And the mom lays the eggs on the ground. She dies because she could never take off again. They climb the cliff, much like turtles go to the ocean, and then they jump off the cliff, and then they stay airborne for the rest of their lives until they die. And that's like a possible way that life on a planet like that would go. And it shows their predators and how they would work, but it cuts back to Earth quite a bit. I would say even 50% of the show has to do with Earth creatures. Hmm. So it makes Earth creatures way more interesting. Like they go over with scorpions, right? So scorpions and venom is a distinct adaptation that came in independently 6 times in evolution. So 6 different genuses have venom, even though they don't share a common ancestor. And so you would assume that venom has to come up on other planets. You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. There's a higher possibility of that happening. So anyway, the show's pretty great. And the special effects are pretty great too.
What I will say is that based off of your expert description, me and Leslie will be starting this series tomorrow.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty good, man. Yeah, those things are hermaphrodite. I want to get to the robot one. Pretty interested in that one.
What a weird idea for a show.
Yeah, well, there was a long time ago, like in the 80s, they did a nature special about humans as if the humans weren't filming. You know what I mean? Like watching us from the outside. And that was
a third party.
Yeah, exactly. And that was an interesting take. And now it's kind of like taking that to another, in a different direction where it's more about things that don't exist, but taking it seriously. I thought it was really good. Really well done.
Nice.
Bobby has zero interest.
No. I don't know.
Bobby, tell me what this To the Top is.
To the Top. This is a game. So this is a game that came up in conversation with someone on Discord. And he said this was his favorite VR game. And it's a platformer. And I thought, how do you do a platformer in VR? That seems so strange. But if you watch it, you've got these little gummy hands that you shoot out and you can only grab onto the blue materials. And I don't know. I might check this out this week. This looks pretty good. It looks like a VR platformer.
It's like a Mirror's Edge in VR.
Yeah. That's a good example. Mirror's Edge in VR.
So you're that taking the crazy VR, dude? It's only been sitting there for 3 weeks without me touching it once.
Yeah, might have to check this out. I mean, it doesn't have a lot of reviews on Steam. It was on sale. It's $20 right now. It was on sale for $10, but during the autumn sale. But it's got very positive reviews, but just not a lot of them.
Now, Bobby, like something like this, I mean, why not buy it on the Oculus Store so that you could play it?
I'd have to see if it's on there. But, you know, like I said, I don't have my credit card set up with the Oculus Store.
I mean, it takes 10 seconds.
I mean, it could. I mean, I don't just go throwing my credit card information out everywhere. It's one of the, it might be easier just
but
to
put wireless, it on. For a game like this, wireless play.
Well, he was saying that it doesn't really require too much moving around. Like, I think you're for the most part, stationary, just but just moving your hands out. So that would actually work. The boxing game cool. was just really tough in my limited space.
Hey, Sniper, is Mother Trucker, is that VR? Because that would be a great game, and it seems like it would go right into it. Very similar to this. Who's got the next one? DIY gifts, Nick?
Yeah, so this is something I wanted to ask you guys, because we are obviously in the holiday season, if that's not apparent by the joy on my face. What are your guys' opinions in the sense of receiving a gift for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever? And it being a DIY gift in the sense of it being something that the person who gave it to you made by hand compared to something that you like explicitly say you want.
I always throw those in the trash immediately. No, I'm kidding.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Obviously, it carries more weight because, as Bobby has said many times, at this point, time is more precious to us than money. So when you give somebody the gift of time, which is what it took for you to do that, it's more important than if you were to just spend a few bucks on something.
Yeah, the reason I bring this topic up is because Leslie, aka my wife.
I feel like I should have got some applause on that. I fucking no, nailed
it. That was a very amicable.
I fucking nailed it and nobody said shit.
Clip it, send it to Twitch. We'll put it on the front page. We'll get you on there, bud. But no, one thing that I noticed that Leslie has been doing is she's been, you know, making DIY gifts, aka bars of soap, candles for people. Like we get them normal gifts, you know, where you know you want a new pair of pajamas and some slippers, we'll get them for you. But Leslie's going like the next step up and making these DIY gifts. And in the sense of like, you know, I wasn't really looking for a candle. I wasn't looking for a bar of soap. Do you guys think that if you were to see something like that, you guys would like it more than like, hey, I got a $20 gift card to Steam?
Ooh, but well, you just went top shelf on us, dude. Like a gift card to Steam is just about the best shit I could get. So if you would have said a pair of socks, I'd be like, oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I'm glad that you made your personal candle, and I'm not going to throw it in the garbage for sure. But, like, yeah, just about anything but a Steam card gift, a Steam gift card.
But I'm one of those people, and call me old-fashioned, that I hate gift cards, dude. Like, you give me a Best Buy gift card, I'm gonna be like,
we're talking about Steam, dude. The thing that you spend $300 a year on.
That is true, but imagine a nice custom-made candle that smells like the forest and sage, made so that your man cave doesn't smell like sweaty Emilio ass or sweaty robot butt, and so that you actually get a little bit of pleasure every time you get in there.
You don't have to sell me on it, dude. I'm sold. I'm expecting your handmade candle any day, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, I don't know about you. This is for the ladies. This is all her job. But what I'm asking is that, do you think a DIY gift overprices a thing that you would buy?
Absolutely.
From Amazon or Costco?
Yes.
You know?
A $5 DIY far outranks a $35 gift.
What about you, Bobby?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of gifts in general. I do like DIY gifts. You know, those are nice things. But, like, seriously, dude, at this point, I'm like, I don't need stuff, you know? Yeah. And it's kind of like, people always ask me, like, oh, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for this? Nothing. Like, honestly, nothing. Like, if they got to get me something, yeah, maybe a gift, like an Amazon gift card, because that'll get used. I'll buy some, like, toilet paper or something in a couple months when I need it. But, you know, I'm at a point where I don't really, I don't like clutter, and I don't need like lots of things. So, you know, like, take me out to a nice dinner. That's a good gift for me.
I like that, Bobby. You know, the gift of an experience, in my opinion, yeah, is better than a physical gift.
Hey, Nick, your mom was saying, your mom got drunk with me the other night, and she's like, I can't take it. She's crying. She's like, my sons are all moving to Texas, and I don't. And I was like, oh, he told me he was coming to San Diego. So which is it, Nick? Are you going to be in vivo in studio?
I will most likely be moving to Texas outside of Austin. However, I will be making periodic live visits to San Diego, because not only do I have my favorite uncle and my favorite robot there, I do have some of my best friends living there as well.
Cool. All right, where are we going? Super Nintendo World.
Super Nintendo World was something that was announced this past week, and it is part of Japan's Universal Studios. It's insane, dude. They're going to make a part of the park in Japan all dedicated to
the
Super Nintendo. Yeah, watch the video.
I haven't seen the video.
They don't really show a whole lot in the video, because it's all, they haven't even built any of this stuff, but they're building like a giant Bowser castle. They're going to have like a Mario Kart ride. Like, they're just going all out, dude. It's going to be insane. Like, how cool is that? But it's only in Japan, Universal Studios Japan.
Chris, what city is this in?
It's in Osaka.
Is that close to Tokyo? Because we're planning on going. Is it
35 minutes south of Tokyo?
Oh, that's it? Yeah, they were definitely going there then.
Yeah, so when are you going to
Tokyo?
It's a long story, but soon. As soon as we can fly that far with a baby, or have a travel nanny, or have a long-term babysitter.
This is off topic, off the script. Me and Leslie's...
It's 2 hours and 30 minutes. Why do you make things up? Why do you lie, liar?
It's south. I said south. It's south.
Yeah, but you said 30 minutes south.
Yeah, if you go by train.
Oh, yeah, he's making shit up now. All right, yeah.
Bullet train. But no, me and Leslie's dream honeymoon, because we didn't get to go on a honeymoon, is to Japan. So if you go, let us know. We'll go.
I'll tell you what. Leave your baby with us, and then we get to leave our baby with you. But that means we have to stop and enjoy. Okay, we're getting off track. Let's keep moving.
Yeah, that'll probably take a few years to complete, though, if it's even that soon. But I just thought that was a great idea. I wish they would do that in the United States, but probably won't. I mean, I can see that working really well in Japan, kind of well out here.
Bobby, it's going to be done in 2 months, dude. The Japanese are incredibly efficient.
Mm. Yeah,
what do you want to see there, Bobby? What is your
main attraction? I want to do the Mario Kart ride, man. I want to shoot turtle shells at people and drop banana peels and hit speed ramps. That'd be awesome.
So the chances of Mila watching this is very slim. I don't think she's ever watched an episode. But we right behind... Oh, it was sitting right behind me. Not anymore. But we bought two of those fucking Mario Kart game carts.
No, you did.
Nice. Yeah, dude. They're $100. They only come in two right now. There's only Mario and Luigi. Mm-hmm. And I guess you could only play two players at a time. Dude, Bobby, I don't know how well you remember my living space out there, mm-hmm. but it's literally a track, dude.
Yeah, it goes all the way around.
It goes all the way around. It's perfect. Plus, we have pets. This is going to be fantastic. This is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Sam's like, should I get her one? I was like, yeah, get her one and get us one. Because this is going to be the shit. We already have two Switches. We have Wi-Fi. We're already there. It's going to be, ooh, I can't wait. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's called Mario Kart Live.
Mario Kart Live. Yeah.
Yeah. So check that out. Stop what you're doing. Stop this podcast. Go check out that and then come back here.
all right. Well, that's all I got, unless you want me to talk about a French reality show I've been watching on Netflix.
You haven't talked to
no. Oh, please. Indulge yes, me,
dude. The people want to hear from you. Stop holding out.
Well, that's when you cut in, dude? That was the one?
This is a recommendation from Sniper.
Oh, recommended I see.
This show to me because, you know, I've been working on my French, and it's really helpful to watch, like, the actual... an actual TV show with French people because you really pick up on how they talk and the language that they use and the little phrases and idioms that they have. So the reality show is called The Circle. And I remember this when it came out in the US. It's actually kind of a dumb premise. It's all based on social media. They put a bunch of people in a building in separate rooms. They can't see each other ever. They only communicate through
social media.
Through really. Social media, but they're
within
like
within the building.
Yeah, with their version of social media, which is called The Circle. So they can send messages to each other and they can send and they can update their profile and like look at each other's, and they do these little like competitions and games. It's actually like pretty clumsy for a game show or a reality TV show. But the thing about the French version is that this is the most recent version of the show, and it's gotten better and better. So as I was reading a little bit about it online, they're like, oh, they fixed the problems with the other versions of the show. Like apparently the finale just wasn't very interesting. But the French one, yeah, man, it was like, it's garbage. Garbage TV, right? It's reality TV, but they did a good job with it, and it definitely helps with the French. Really, really helps with the profanity, man. I'm really getting the profanity down in French.
On a game like this, what is the end game?
Well, it's $100,000 if you win.
Oh, but you're getting kicked out, voted out. Yeah, like Survivor. People
get kicked out, but then you're also competing for popularity. So, like. Once every day,
like they national will, property.
Property? No, just within the other people who play gotcha. As well. So they'll like rate 1 through 8, and then they add up the numbers and find out who's the who's rated the highest or whatever. But yeah, man, it was interesting, and it's actually I think really helpful. They got a Brazil version of it, and they got, of course, the U.S. version. I don't know if I'm going to go watch like the U.S. one because the show itself isn't like that good. But
I started watching it, dude. The
English one,
yeah, the US one? Yeah, on Netflix they produced their own version. Mm-hmm. I got maybe halfway through the first episode. I just couldn't. I couldn't.
It's pretty rough. The English one is pretty rough.
Yeah,
and I hate everyone on it. But the French one, let's go back to that. Bobby, what's your favorite character on the French one? There's two grandmas that pretend to be 18-year-old boy, and they're using like 100-year-old French, and they're pretending to be like a 14-year-old boy, and everyone else in the circle is like, why is this guy talking like he's 100 years old?
Yeah, that was funny. Oh, so they got these two old ladies, they're in their late 70s, and they're pretending to be like their grandson, or one of their grandsons. And they keep getting found out because they use these like hashtags that are just so stupid, like what a gas, which I guess was like popular in France in a long time ago. But the thing that cracked me up was they play this game where they have to like talk about movies. Like they describe a movie only with emojis, and then they have to answer a question about it. And they missed the Harry Potter one. These old ladies missed the Harry Potter one, but then they have this like famous French movie, The Troops of Saint-Tropez, from like the 60s, and then they nail that one. So it's like, come on, man. But to answer your question, Sniper, so I really wanted, should we talk spoilers? Can we talk
spoilers? Yeah, let's talk spoilers. Yes. No one's going to watch this French show, dude. Very okay. few people.
I really wanted Elia to win.
She's a smoke show, dude.
She's not even the hottest one, but yeah. I thought she totally deserved to win, and she came in second place. I knew Roman was going to win, or Chroma.
Is that Roman?
Chroma. I'm working on my R's. Chroma. I'm really
why
trying
are you
hard.
Saying Chroma?
That's how you speak you French. Like all right, that? This isn't Canadian French. We've had this discussion. What, Chroma?
You're like blowing air on the R's. It's creepy.
Because
it's turning
French
me on, but
R,
it's also pretty
the
creepy.
French R is pronounced like an H, like rouge. Rouge. You got a flat.
No, dude.
Okay, how do you pronounce it?
Hormage.
Rouge.
Rouge?
Rouge, Romain.
All right, let's get Nyanko here. He can help us out. I'm going to have a...
Nyanko's probably has a Marseillais accent, probably from buttfuck France, dude. Like,
no, he's from Belgium.
Okay, right. Even worse.
But, yeah, I knew he was going to win. Like, from the very beginning, I was like, yeah, this guy's got it. I really found, like, the whole thing with him and Maxime pretending... So there's a guy named Maxine, and the thing about this game show, there's people pretending to be other people, right?
Right.
So Maxine,
but what's the advantage of doing that?
Because he's pretending to be his girlfriend. His girlfriend's like really hot.
Oh, there's a guy that does that on the American one.
Yeah. So he's pretending to be his girlfriend, and this other guy, Romain, like totally falls in love with this girl. And then they meet at the end, and it's super awkward because he's like, wait, you're a man? And I fell in love with your girlfriend? Woo, awkward. But it's hilarious. Yeah.
If he kisses her, there's a chance he might kiss her.
The thing is, though, that these... The French are so weird. I've been watching a lot of French movies, too, and they're just like so sexually fluid, dude. They're just like...
It's good.
Yeah, it's great, man. I love it. Yeah, it's awesome. But it's just so different.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I don't know. I think they're very progressive in like in that department. And I think, I don't know.
Who's the hottest one? Sniper? If she's not the hottest one.
Well, probably there's like a 22-year-old model that gets kicked off first episode.
Yeah.
So, Ines,
can't be too hot.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I don't know why she got kicked off. Oh, she got kicked off because people thought she was going to be a threat. That's the thing. If you're too attractive.
Yeah, like, well, she started bragging about how she was a model. And then they're like,
oh, you think that girl's the hottest? Dude, no, that girl's...
Are you talking about
her personality
Ines?
Sunk it for me, dude.
Yeah, well, that's why she got kicked off first episode. Yeah.
You know, Sniper's got like a detective fucking wall set up.
With yarn connected.
Like, with yarn and pictures and ratings of each person. He's trying to crack the code.
Sniper, I hate when people bring up personality with hotness. It has
no, dude,
to do
they're inseparable. They're inseparable.
They're pretty inseparable, dude.
No.
It's like cigarettes, and like if a girl smokes, it's like, sorry, can't do it.
Emilio, are you literally a walking cock and balls? You can't tell the difference between personality and okay.
Yes. But we're talking about a TV show. We're talking about visual stimulation.
But it doesn't exist in a vacuum. Like you get to know the people, and then you're like, ugh, really? That's how you act?
Not if you pay for it.
Let me get to the base of this argument. Bobby, have you ever seen Love on the Spectrum?
Yeah, we had a whole conversation about it. I've watched it when it was a British show called Undateables. So, like,
would you consider this French show more entertaining than Love on the Spectrum?
I didn't like Love on the Spectrum that much.
I loved it, man.
It was probably because I've seen seasons and seasons of Undateables before, so I see Love on the Spectrum like, it's the same thing, you know? Mm. So, I don't know. There were some great bits to that, to Undateables. Like, I really enjoyed Richard. Shout out to Richard. That guy cracked me up. But, no, I don't know, man. Like, this, like, I watched it to help with my French, right? But then I actually got invested in it a little bit. So I.
Because you're watching with subtitles?
Yeah, I watched it with subtitles.
Here's my problem with that. So I'll watch. I have tried to get into Kingdom 4 times.
Kingdom?
Yeah, it's a Japanese zombie movie. Okay. Or show. And I listen to it, and I put dub on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that I put dub plus subtitles, and they don't line up at all, dude. It's like 65% best. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So you the dub track plus the literary translation, and it's it is not even close a lot of the times. And I'm like, what are they actually saying here? So now I just watch the subtitles. But, like, it's a zombie, so you want to watch the action, so you kind of lose some of the...
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to go back and forth. What I did with this show, I actually slowed it down to, like, 0.75% on a few episodes, and it was actually a lot easier for me. Mm. And what's cool is they're constantly talking to the TV and, like, writing out messages. Like, they do it by voice, but someone else types it.
Right.
So they say, like, circle, massage, blah, 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 trois petits points. Envoyé, which is like three little dots sent. And so when they do that, they show the screen and there's, you can see the text that they're writing. So it actually helps with like reading it. And it's so hard for me to listen and understand. Like that's the hardest thing. And probably for like a lot of people learning languages, I think listening and understanding is the hardest thing. You know, reading a little bit better because you can take your time with it. Speaking, you can kind of, you can go slow. But yeah. I don't know. I'm a little bummed, though, Sniper. I got to say that Gary got kicked off pretty early. I mean,
Gary is a snake, dude.
Yeah, he was kind of shady, but I mean, he's this very flamboyant gay guy. But his name's Gary. He's a 30-year-old guy named Gary. Like, what the hell?
Again, Gary.
I want to know, is that like a common name in France? Because that, when's the last time you met a Gary? Like, that was that young.
Right after I met Gary.
1979.
I don't think I even went to school. I'm
Gary Depardieu.
Gerard.
Vietnam War.
Gerard Depardieu.
Hey, my pronunciation is pretty spot on, huh, Sniper?
It is, actually.
Thank you.
They do say his name like Gary.
Mm-hmm. Omelette du fromage.
Yeah. All right. God, dude, we've been getting so off topic.
I know. Yeah. That's okay. I'll stop.
This makes for great podcasting, though. People want to hear us ramble.
The Twisted and the Twilight, dude. We all have all night. That's the problem.
Yeah, we do. So the Twisted and Twilight, final video game that I'm talking about. The last DLC for Total War Warhammer 2 has been released. For those who have not picked it up, as in the Total War Warhammer 2. It's currently on autumn sale right now. You can buy 1 and 2 for $30. This DLC pack adds two new lords, aka two new types of armies or ways to play to a race, to the race that had the least amount of lords to play, as well as adds another lord to the most popular faction.
Seems like a super minor DLC, dude.
Super major, actually.
Generals? Like a lord is a general, right?
So lord is a general, correct, yes. Yeah.
So three generals have been added to the game. That doesn't sound, from the outside, that doesn't sound like a lot.
It's actually technically four if you count the free LC, like the free, you know, thing that you get when you buy it, or when you just don't even have to buy it, you get it as well. But so there's a race called the Wood Elves. They have, throughout the whole game, have been realized as the weakest race, or the race that has only one way to play them. This DLC adds two new legendary lords, so two new ways to play them as well, and allows the game to be fully expanded to the Wood Elves, and really just makes the use of buying them from the game one into a viable option to the game.
So the lord you pick, the lord you pick is the
statement or addition that they make is to the Skaven, which have the most legendary lords, which is really just like piling on grilled onions onto the hot dog with 1,000 fucking toppings on it.
So the lord that you pick also, that's kind of your strategy? It gives away your strategy?
Yes. So, like, for example, one of the new lords for the Wood Elves is actually two characters on one hawk. And their playstyle is all about flying units. And so when you choose a lord, depending on, regardless of the race, it kind of reveals your playstyle. Mm. So there's a lord for the Skaven that's all about using ranged units. Or there's a lord for the Bretonian that's all about using peasant units. And this DLC adds 4 new lords for 2 races, and I say we, as in the Total War Warhammer community, believe that the next announcement, which should come January 1st, will be for Total War Warhammer 3, which will be the final game in the series.
Nick, how much would you pay for a Total War 40K?
How much is a baby worth? No, I'm kidding. So that's something that's been talked about through and throughout. It doesn't work. It honestly doesn't work, because Total War is like the aspect of controlling legions of armies, kind of like a Roman, and making them run into each other. And that's not how 40K works.
Right. It's a lot of range. They're mostly range.
Yeah. I would say the best aspect and the best view of the battlefield of 40K has to be Dawn of War 1.
Dawn of War 1, man. It's the shit.
Especially with the Apocalypse mod. I don't know if you've ever played it with that. It adds over 400 units to the game. Bobby, you should check it out, especially because I know you like the strategy games.
Yeah, you know, I played a little bit of it, but just that was a long time ago.
It's being updated every month. Every month, the creator with his team adds new units from the lore, adds new units that they think of, and it's a little imbalanced, but it's definitely a kick to play with friends or even without. So
the two Mexicans on this show are getting drunk as shit. All right, we got to move on.
Yeah, we've got a lot of listener questions.
So I got one last topic for you guys.
Okay. Yeah.
What about the serious characters being put in silly games?
Like what? What are you talking about?
So, for example, what was announced today was that Kratos of God of War, a very serious and heart-wrenching and emotional game, is going to be added to Fortnite.
I mean,
as just a skin.
It's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just like,
look at this trailer. You have Pancake Man versus the God of War.
It's almost better. It's almost better, dude, because you don't see, within its own genre, you'll never see Kratos fuck around like that and be stupid. But if you put him in a different game that is stupid, like a kart game, you're like, oh, I get to see this super serious guy in an unfamiliar setting. It's good to see the lighter side of Kratos.
I would say
obviously
that
you're offended.
Yeah, yeah. I'm more than offended. I'm the guy with the Kratos tattoo on his thigh. Yeah. That's a foot long. What I will say is that I don't mind the character being used and everything, but when they take it as something super significant in the game, that's when I get a little butthurt about it. The realization of the situation, I looked at it as a third party output, is that Epic Games has seen how the PS5 is selling compared to the new Xbox, and is seeing that the PS5 is outselling it. The demand for PS5s is more than the new Xbox.
Yeah, so they're leaning into the PS5. Okay,
exactly. And so, I understand the situation. Do I like it? No. Objectively, am I going to say it's okay? Sure. Am I a little sad about it? Yeah.
All but right. they're also putting Master Chief in, and this pales in comparison to when Nintendo put Anne Frank in Smash Bros.
Anne Frank? What the fuck are you talking about, Anne Frank?
As like a DLC selectable character.
I don't believe you whatsoever. I don't think when was Anne Frank in Smash Bros.?
That's like maybe the funniest thing you've ever said, Chris.
It's true, dude. Just look it up. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't believe you. You're sounding like me. No, I'm just kidding. But no, obviously you guys don't have as much of a ties to a character like I do. You guys watch, God of War, cutscenes on YouTube and things like that. But, this is going to sound super campy, but God of War, the newest one for the PS4, was the first game me and Leslie ever played together to completion.
Was that co-op? Because somebody played as a child?
No. So what it was is that we took turns.
Oh.
And we, you know, we experienced the whole story together. And like, it was a very specific rule in our household that you wouldn't play unless the other person was around, you know?
Aw. And that's so, and that's how Vivian was made.
And, yeah. You know, a little bit more whiskey, but yeah. but no, like I said, it holds a very special place in my heart. But as far as seeing Kratos in there, I understand the situation. Do I like it? No. Do I think it's a huge blow to society? No. I just wanted to see your guys' aspect on it.
Yeah, I don't really have any strong feelings either way.
I like it. I like to see serious characters made fun of. Especially like the too cool for... Like, I would love to see Geralt in Smash Brothers. It would just make sense. He has a sword. And if they could make him look silly, that would be even better.
But what do you think about Mike Tyson fighting again, though?
Oh, didn't I talk about this last week?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah. It was fine. I thought the whole thing was good. It was as good as it could have been. You know,
without anybody getting seriously hurt, right?
Well, they didn't hit. You could see they had a gentleman's agreement. They weren't hitting each other in the face. They weren't trying to knock each other out. But it was a good fight anyway. Like, Mike fucked his shit up. He was still holding his fucking guts in. During the interview, Roy Jones got fucked up. The whole thing is like, okay, so people are going to pay money for a shit show. It's a spectacle. For a spectacle and a shit show, it was really well done, and I enjoyed it. It was one of the better shit shows I've ever seen.
But speaking of shit shows, what's up with your notes on the cabin?
Oh. So I brought it up last week where the second episode started and he was doing like the bat wing and you could see his asshole and his balls and his dick. And I was like, whoa, I got to change it. 'Cause it was the middle of the day. There's children around. I had no idea it was coming. So, I ended up watching when I'm talking about guys, when I'm talking about like, why are you not playing video games? You're watching all these shows. When I'm watching shows or playing phone games, I'm either in an elevator or taking care of a baby. So there's no time. I don't have hands free for video gaming. So I started watching The Cabin, which is about Bert Kreischer going to relax in the woods. So he invites famous people out to the woods to do woodsy stuff. And then they talk about it. And it's all edited and it's all like over the top and shit. Like, breaking fruit or throwing axes. But the first episode had like Caitlyn Jenner in it, which I've never even heard her talk ever. I only ever read things about her. So it was interesting to like see a little bit of what she's actually like. Then there's like a comedian show with two comedians talking about how like they can never take anything serious. So they're trying to be serious about things. I don't know. I've been enjoyed. I've been entertained. How many have you watched, Nick?
This is going to reveal a lot about me. I think, you know, Tom Segura is one of the greatest comedians of all time. Truly an inspiration. You know, if you ask me, what's your dream in life? It's to become a stand-up comedian. And so Bert Kreischer is obviously tied into his life. All in one day. But Bobby, what I want to know, because you've been so silent, because we've been talking about topics, unfortunately, that doesn't really
apply to robots.
What do you think about taking a dude's week or weekends together with, Emilio or Ray or me or just friends that you don't really talk to that often?
I'll put it this way.
But you would consider people your friends.
I'll put it this way, Bobby. If I went hunting, if I was going hunting and I had all the equipment for you, would you come? If you had to take time off work.
Yeah, probably. If it worked with my schedule, I'd probably do that just for the experience.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Hunting seems like fishing. Very boring. I don't know.
It's the boringness that you're there for, man.
It's the bullshitting between the excitement that you live for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Camaraderie. male bonding, docking.
No, not the docking part.
I'm hearing an echo.
We're talking about like predisposed activities. We're talking about fun shit to do. You know, we're not talking about drinking or anything, but we're talking about just overall a good time. Would you be open, you know, if I flew out with no family to San Diego to experience a weekend specific trip like this on the cabin?
In a cabin?
No, it's getting gay.
Yeah, someone might get murdered out there. No, I mean, I'd probably be down.
It's called the stabbing cabin.
Yeah, I mean, probably. It really depends on my schedule, you know. It's pretty difficult for me to work things in unless it's during the summer or during one of my...
So, a.k.a. breaks. He's not going to take time off for it, even though he has...
Unless it's the summer. We can go hunting in the summer.
700,000 vacation days.
I get like 2 months... Well, I'm going to have to start using them because I got to take a class next semester that's going to actually...
Cut into your time.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to do like 4 hours a week. But I got the time. But yeah, and you know what, I mean, you mentioned like the not drinking thing, and that's like, it's not a problem for me to be around people who are drinking. It's just really boring. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. They think like, and there are people who don't drink and it's like, yeah, it's difficult for them to be around that environment. Like maybe the first 6 months when I stop, but for me, it's just like people get really drunk. They're having a good time. They start laughing at really stupid jokes and I'm just like dead sober. And we've all been there. We all know what that's like to be the sober guy in the room.
And
yeah. So it's just, and I don't know. So like a lot of times I just won't do things just because of that. Cause I'm like, oh, well, that's just going to be, you know, corny jokes and drunk people.
What I think the real question is here is like, would you be open to an experience where you are disconnecting to your everyday life, where you don't think about it at all, and you really just are spending time with your friends to achieve a common goal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's this common goal we're achieving?
Killing an animal, shooting, and eating it.
Shooting a boar and then eating it and making sausages.
Did you meet Tribe yet?
No.
Where am I getting the echo? Is that you, Nick? Is Leslie watching us in the background?
She was. No, I'm standing way too close to my mic.
Okay.
Now, is it coming through your headphones? Yeah, it's just ever so slight.
Yeah. Tribe, man. Please, read it.
All right. I'll put it on the list of all the books that I got to read.
Mine go on the top. All right. I think we're done. Except for Killer Fruit 2, which we could put on
the list. We already talked about that. Yeah. Okay. We got lots of listener questions, so let's get to those.
But first, Quick Soldier, thank you. 14 months.
We had a lot of subscriptions.
Yeah, it's the first of the month. Get up. It's the first of the month.
Shout out, Bone Thugs. Love you. Juicy J just came out with a new album.
So, Nick, that song came out, right? I was in high school. Uh-huh. I ran home. I was like, Mom, you got to listen to this song. Wake up. It's the first of the month. Bah, bah. Get up. And then she's like, you know why they're singing that, right? The first of the month. I was like, I don't know. Well, no, why? She's like, this is when they get their welfare checks. I was like, oh, it all makes sense now.
It's when people get paid. It's not just the welfare checks. Come on, Nana. Amparo, no.
Yikes.
Yeah.
All right. First question from Warconius. This one is directed towards Nick. Since you are a regular on the podcast, I thought I'd throw some get to know you questions. One, favorite video game. Two, favorite protagonist. Scariest moment. Horniest moment. Favorite DLG podcast episode. Moment. And who's the better all-around gamer? Emilio, Bobby, Chi, Minnie, Ray, or you?
So I'm going to answer this and then use the restroom. You know, this is something that, you know, I've really just been a part of. I wouldn't say call myself a regular. I'd call myself maybe the fill-in guy if, you know, you guys don't really find me an annoyance. My favorite video game series, hands down, is Metal Gear Solid. I have a tattoo about it.
Kurt the Ape says your favorite character is Kratos from Fortnite.
favorite character is Kratos from Fortnite. Everybody knows he does a yay. Real good. No, legitimately, my favorite character is Kratos because of the character development that we've seen through all the games. Scariest moment in a game. That has to be the moment of in Outlast where the twins show up and they pull you down from the ledge and they scare the shit out of you. I literally had to stop playing for about 2 days because of it. Horniest moment in a game. This is going to be a super niche answer. I owned a PSP at one point, and I didn't know what Darkstalkers was. I thought it was just a Street Fighter clone. And if you guys don't know, there's a character named Morgan in Street Fighter, I mean, in Darkstalkers, and she wears like a corset, and her boobs are pretty much out. As a 13, 12 year old, that was insane.
I thought the cat chick was a little hotter all the time. I always thought she was hotter.
Who?
The cat chick.
Oh, Felicia?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not into that, but you know, she's obviously attractive. Favorite DLG podcast / episode moment has to be Bobby eating the, what was it? Like the, it was like pretty much everything on a plate. It was like the tripas.
Tosti loco.
Yeah, the poti loco. What is it again?
Tosti loco.
Osti loco.
Tosti
loco.
Yes.
Seeing Bobby eat that, you know, one thing that I love Bobby is he's down low down for anything. Like it'll be like salchichas with oreja de puerco, and he's like, you know what? I'll try it, man. Whatever. Yeah. You know, salsa, no salsa, I'll try it.
Down to download is the episode name. Yeah, I think you just nailed it, dude.
Down to download.
It's one of the best things about Bobby, you know, as a friend, he's really down for anything. He'll try everything once, even though, you know, when you get down to his personality, you may think he's not that very adventurous, but he really is down for the, you know, the fight.
Oh, Chi's here. Hi, Chi.
Hey, Chi.
So, Chi. When it comes to all around better gamer, Emilio, Bobby, Chi, Mini, Ray, or me?
That's tough without specifically picking a game.
Yeah, because you don't have any experience with Ray or Mini, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, or Chi. Well, so let me put them into ranking here, because I've played with everybody. It really depends on the games. So if you're going first-person shooters, Ray or you would be on the top. Probably Ray, barely. I would say like a platformer that would definitely go to Mini. Chi is good with anything that has to do with gaining hearts with different characters, making them like you. She's really good at that. Bobby's good at... Bobby's overall good as long as it's on a keyboard. No controller. Yeah. And I'm not good at video games anymore. Yeah, but I would say Ray, Mini, and Nick are the best video game players.
So my official response is Emilio old, Bobby old, Chi girl, Mini girl, Ray maybe, me top. Just kidding. That's super misogynistic. I will say we all have our aspects that we're best at. There isn't a game that we all can play together. There is a game that I would like to all play together called Unfortunate Spacemen, which is like Among Us on steroids.
I played that.
Because it incorporates all the things you just said in one game.
Hmm. Did you like it, Bobby?
It was pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. It's like Among Us. It's totally like Among Us. But it just, it didn't have like the audience or the memes and, you know, like the numbers.
Right.
It's free to play. Let me say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to get a DLG, maybe Christmas Eve or Christmas Eve, you know, mini podcast or stream going. Because it's up to, I believe, 16 players in one lobby.
Mini girl might be the other fucking episode name. Sorry. Yeah.
But right. Yeah, no, those are all my answers for that question, Marconius. Thank you. Like I said, not a usual, just a fill in really.
Thanks for the subscription from Chi in the chat.
Tier one. Hey, nice. 20 months.
Wow.
Damn.
Got that money, got that paper.
She's got a fucking crush on Bobby.
Must be the beard. The next question is for me. It's from Kurd the Ape. It says, Bobby, with Cyberpunk 2077 releasing this month, what old game does it inspire you to resurrect and play instead? That's pretty good. but honestly, The Witcher 3, I already downloaded it. And I'm like, because I've got a break coming up in about 2 weeks. And I'm like, God, I really want to get into, like, you know, a thick game, you know, like something that's got some meat on its bones.
Even when
Cyberpunk. And it's like, well, do I want to pay $60 for Cyberpunk or just play this other great game I got sitting right here that I haven't touched? I mean, I've tried to get into, I tried for like 3 hours to get into Witcher 3. Didn't happen. But, you know, like you and many other people have this experience.
3 or 4 times,
yeah, man. A couple of times, and then you finally got into it. So I'm thinking maybe this is the time. And yeah, I don't know. We'll see, man. But I'm really excited just to see what happens with Cyberpunk because there's so much hype surrounding it, and it looks like it's going to live up to it. So it's going to be a wild ride. We'll see what happens. Can't wait for all the YouTube videos and memes and social media. All right, next question from Warconius. He's got a lot of them here, so I'm just going to go through these. Do you know anyone that plays inverted, and is shock therapy an appropriate solution? So he's referring to the controls. This happens a lot when you're manning a vehicle, I've noticed. They'll invert the controls on you. And I never use it. Super annoying for me.
Wait, so when I go towards my monitor, that raises the... That's normal, right? That's not inverted, right?
No, it usually has to do with, like, up and down.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Left to right.
So if I'm going towards my monitor, forward,
mm-hmm.
that should raise my sights.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Correct.
And then the other one is inverted. Because a lot of games have it like that by default.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't like that. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it's probably just because I'm used to doing it the other
way. No, it's because that's how flight controls are. If you push forward, you go down.
Yeah, you go down. So.
Yeah.
Correct.
You can go fuck right off. Do you play like that, Nick?
So I play as in push mouse forward, go down. Pull mouse backwards, go up.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, no, that's not how I play.
Wait, put my forward, go. No, yeah, no. You need shock therapy.
This is getting way too confusing. What's really annoying is, by default, Macs do that on their scrolling. And they have a word for it. I can't remember what it is, but it's like natural scroll or something, I think they call it. So like if you scroll down, or if you pull your fingers down, like you're clawing down on the trackpad, then it scrolls up.
Mm. And yep. As if you're grabbing it and pulling it.
Yeah, down. Exactly. Exactly. Right. So yeah, Macs are set up but like that by default. I don't know. I'm running like OS 10.14, so maybe they've changed it.
I will say that Chad is left-handed. And that's caused throughout the years all kinds of problems with him with gaming. Like, mm-hmm. you know, your non-dominant hand.
Yeah. I mean, finding a mice or a mouse, first of all.
Yeah. For years, he used a mouse on his right hand. And then eventually he moved to the left. He had to find the left-handed mouse, I remember. And then after that, you got to switch to arrow keys. And then anything bonus you want to do. You got to go and find the key. You got to move your hand way across. So that's fucked up. So you end up playing backwards.
God, I wonder if there's a reverse keyboard out there.
It's IJKL for left-handed users is what you use instead of WASD.
Yeah, and then the other thing is sitting next to him eating. He'd always be like, I can't sit to your right to you. And I sit to the right of you. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, because they're fucking... For me, it's like a casual sit-down dinner, just like, okay, what's going on? I'll sit wherever I need to. And be like, oh, sure, but why? He'll be like, because our elbows are going to be hitting the whole fucking time. And so it's like lifelong fucking frustration you're dealing with. And the other thing you don't think about with being left-handed is as you write, the fat of your hand is touching what you just wrote. Mm-hmm. So not only are you smudging it, but it's all over the base of your hand as well. Hmm. That's fucked up, too.
So, I'm left-handed,
And that is the real struggle, okay? As someone who grew up with an oaf of a brother who's right-handed, I couldn't sit at the same side of the table as him, all right? So it is a struggle when we go to dinner, okay? We got to sit on the outside.
We should just put all the left-handed people one
in
place.
Burners.
Yeah, like a ovens. Camp or something.
Ovens.
Yeah, and just...
We all need
you know, somewhere where they can concentrate real well.
So have you heard this, Bobby? So there's no evolutionary, there's nothing evolutionary that promotes you being left-handed. This is from a book I read. I forget what it was. Because left-handed people, for some reason, die of heart attacks earlier than right-handed people. So there's no...
This sounds completely unfounded.
It's true. Fuck it. Ahead. Somebody look it up.
Everybody knows left-handed people die of heart attacks.
Yeah, like for some reason. But anyway, okay. So what is the genetic or beneficial evolutionary trait? They're better in fights. Right-handed people are used to fighting right-handed people. Mm-hmm. So you go out onto a battlefield, somebody attacks from the left, you're like, what the fuck? And then your head's off. And so they've been, I forgot what book this was. I hope it wasn't fiction.
Yeah, there well, you go. I mean, same thing with, oh, yeah, of course, a website says it. So, of course, it's true.
It's healthline.com, dude.
Healthline. Dude, that's the quintessential source of knowledge for health in the Western universe.
It's got health right in the title. but, yeah, dude, it's the same thing in a lot of sports, like left-handed pitchers. And you strategically use left-handed pitchers at certain times, like if you've got a... if you've got a left-handed batter that you really want to strike out, you pull a left-handed pitcher out of the bullpen.
Southpaw fucking fighters, you know, they're not, it's hard to say they're not as good, but they might not be as talented as a traditional boxer, but because they're southpaw, mm-hmm. there's right-handed people that just cannot fight them. Conor McGregor's left hand from hell.
Okay. One of the suggested questions in Google is, are lefties evil?
So you want to know about...
Are lefties better in bed?
Do you want to know how close I am to witchcraft, Bobby? My brother had a different mother, and he was born as left-handed. His mother believed that left-handedness was tied to the devil. Mm-hmm. So as a young boy, they tied his left hand to his arm. So that he wouldn't be... This is my brother, dude. Wow. He's off by 15 years, but he's my brother. So that he would not be left-handed anymore. He ended up being super athletic, the most athletic of all of us, but he's ambidextrous now. He could do anything with either hand. Hmm. But, yeah, that's how close...
So it all worked out.
...to Mexican witchcraft I am.
Brujería.
Brujería.
All right. Next question from Morconius. Is it safe to say that movie theaters are going to struggle this next little, or it's safe to say that movie theaters are going to struggle this next little while? What's your most memorable time in a movie theater, favorite movie moment, or time you got to first base? Got too many memorable moments in theaters to list, man. Like I go to movies so much, or at least I did when they existed.
to Nick's wife, Leslie, yes, a southpaw fighting a southpaw is uncommon at best. But it's not 10% of the population is left-handed, but 10% of fighters is not. It's more like 20% of fighters because they do so well just because they're left-handed. There's more fighters per capita in fighting than regular life. Go ahead.
So... First of all, in Georgia, movie theaters are not going through struggle. They don't give a fuck down here.
Oh, you have open movie theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Are they full capacity?
Pretty much, yeah. Wow. There are some that are following rules, aka AMC, however, the independent movie theaters.
So his mom,
still showing.
His mom, which is my sister, half-sister, and my other sisters, they're all white, and they're from Louisiana. So they had a family member die like 2 weeks ago. They flew over there with masks and face shields, as mm-hmm. you do. And first thing our family members told them when they landed was, oh, y'all can take that off. We don't have that here. Meanwhile, they find out later that two of them had already died, and a third one is in the hospital from COVID. Mm. So there you go.
That's what happens when all your family members are fat and, you know, unhealthy.
Wow.
They're like, the sugar got them. No, it was COVID.
The sugar got them. Again, I'm going for alcohol. It's on the other side of the.
Okay, I'll give you this story, and I'm probably told it on the podcast before, but since we mentioned Ex Machina earlier in the show, I'll tell you the funny incident I had while watching that movie in a theater. I'm sitting almost front row, like maybe first, second row, watching the movie. It gets to the climax of the movie. Like, I'm talking about the music rising, like everything's coming together. She stabs him in the back, like the climax. And this guy sitting next to me jumps up, starts shaking his friend and yelling, "He's dying. He can't breathe. He can't breathe. He's dying." So I'm like, what the fuck? My heart starts racing. I spring into action. I'm like, all right, stand back. And I'm going to give this guy CPR. I don't know how to do CPR, by the way. I've seen it in like movies. I think like in middle school, like I took a class. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm about to like try and save this guy's life. So then I grab the dude and I start like laying him out. And then he just snaps awake and goes, huh, what? What? And then I look at his buddy who was yelling and he's like, oh, I guess he was asleep. Like, what the fuck, dude? What the fuck?
He was probably higher on mushrooms.
No, dude, these were like 45-year-old guys. These are like
prime like, for dying.
Like older guys just like sitting there watching the movie. And one of them just fell asleep during the movie and his friend freaked out and thought that he was like having a heart attack or like, yeah. And then I was like, because, dude, it doesn't sound like much, but when you're, like, in a situation like that, yeah. And you're just like, oh, my God, all right, I'm going to try and save a guy's life. Some you call 911, like, you're like, in action mode. My heart's just like, do-do-do-do-do. And then, like, he's like, oh, well, I guess it's nothing. Then I sit back down, and I watch, like, the last, like, 20 minutes of the movie and just, like, trying to focus.
Did he turn on the house lights?
No.
Dude,
this was like...
So a man would have died in the dark.
Yeah.
Fuck him. If he's going to die, let everybody enjoy the movie.
Sometimes they die.
Man, and that's just one of the many movie moments that I got, dude. So many.
Dumb question, Bobby, but maybe not. Prefer to watch in the comfort of your home or in the movie theater?
Movie theater.
Yeah.
It depends, man. You know, it's nice to watch it at home, but I got to the point where I was like, because I used to do the home theater thing, but then I'm just like, home theaters are expensive and they're constantly going out of date, or I could pay like $20 a month and see 3 movies a week in a theater with like a Dolby Atmos and just like everything tuned professionally with like a 30-foot screen. It's just like...
I did want to mention this. Sorry. The HBO. So HBO is getting all Warner Brothers releases, right? UHD. I don't think you have to pay a premium. Like, so we have Disney Plus, right? But you have to pay $30 for Mulan. I don't think that's the case with HBO Max.
They said some titles was.
Oh,
they said some larger titles would be a premium. I don't think it's $30. I think it's an extra $5 from what I recall correctly.
See, that if you're already paying for the service, like, I get it.
Yeah.
$5 is...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's not... But the thing is about theaters, too, I really do like the community of going to a theater and watching it with other people.
When they die.
Yeah, dude, like shit like that. From moments like that. And not even that, but I just love reacting with people. I love seeing like other people laugh or cry or, you know, just have emotional reactions to movies. Yeah. I love going to see a movie like first day packed house. You know, I saw Sonic the Hedgehog. I showed up and it's just like, wow. It's like a lot of kids in here and they talked through the whole movie and like they were constantly just yelling shit out and it was great. I was just like, all right, this is
best birth control ever.
Yeah. This is a fun experience for me. You know, like I could watch this movie at home and have a, you know, much more private, undisturbed experience. But I don't know, for me going to a theater is like, it's always kind of sad going to a theater and there's like 3 people in there and you're like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, this will still be fine, but you know, dude, I do like when it's a crowd.
Watching stand-up comedy in person versus completely watching it on Netflix.
Completely different.
100% different.
I can't even breathe. I'm laughing so hard because it's a communal
What's crazy is like, so I've been to the like, you know, American Comedy Company where it's like small venue. And then I've been to like the Civic Center where it's just huge. And I've been in way in the back and I'm still like it. Yeah. You know, it's still an energy in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though it's not that intimate setting.
If you talk to comics, that's what they... American Comic Co. is like exactly what they want. They want low ceilings so that the echo just bounces up and down, not just left and right. And then...
it's a great venue.
Intimate. Yeah, it's a great venue.
Yeah.
And now it's dead.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's shut down.
Well, no. Well, a guy in my class, actually, he does open mics. Yeah, open mics a lot, and he's gotten to know a lot of the people there. And like every one of his projects in my documentary filmmaking class has been on the San Diego comedy scene cool. and American Comedy Company in particular, and like how they're trying to get around all these things with COVID. Like it's a long story. I won't like get into it, but they're trying. They're trying to survive
to bring things back around. As far as theater starting to trying to stay relevant and stay going. Did you see this whole private party thing where, you know, they rent the theater out to like
you can rent a birthday
or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great idea. It's not going to save them, but it'll stem the bleeding.
Yeah. And I like watching movies with strangers though. Like I love that. I love like watching a movie and then like laughing at something. And then somebody like, couple seats back laughs at the same thing at the same time. I'm like, this guy gets it, dude. Like there's a connection between me and some random person. Like we have the same sense of humor or something. So
I have that same connection when it comes to watching it in Monterey and there's like five people behind me that are like, oh hell no, don't go in that room. He gonna eat you. And that's the shit I live for. That, you know, it's a double win-win because A, I'm there with my wife. We have date night. You get the popcorn, you get the alcoholic Slurpee. It's a good time, but you also get, like Bobby says, you get the interactions with these strangers. So that really makes it.
Very quickly, my lowdown. I love to sneak in a flask and spice up my drink. Although recently there's been bars. Most of them have bars now, which is nice. Yeah,
AMC's calls their bar MacGuffins, which I thought was pretty clever.
That is good. Let's see. I've definitely gotten a blowjob. One of my first blowjobs I got in a movie theater. What else?
That's how they did it in the 80s.
Oh, I've told this story before. There's a very, very, very gross scene in a movie, the Robert Rodriguez Planet Terror. And it happened, and I was the only packed house. I'm the only person that laughed, and it was after. It took me about 5 seconds to laugh at it after it happened, and then other people started to laugh. Like it was almost that, like it was a social cue to let other people know that it was okay to laugh at this thing, and that was really interesting. I'll never forget that because silence. And then I was like, ha, 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 ha. Like, I lost my shit. And then everybody was like, oh, okay. I think, you know what I mean? Like, it changed the mood in the room. Just a catalyst.
Mm.
Yep.
All right. Next question from Morconius. It's safe to say, oh, wait, no, we read that one. Aside from Jackbox, what party games do you recommend for non-gamers on Steam?
Non-gamers.
Tabletop Simulator.
And that one can be, that's a good one, but technically, it requires some technical prowess, I feel like.
A little bit.
Well, not anymore, because only the host has to have the DLC now.
No, we're talking about like...
Yeah, but even just controlling that, like first of all, like I can't tell my dad, like, hey, you know, get a Steam account, buy this game, install, you know, like that's a little out of their league, but...
The Yogg?
The Yogg's all right. That's an okay game.
Because you only need one controller.
Mm-hmm. And you pass it around. But it's multiple choice. I don't think that's like too exciting, though. Like,
it's not
for
too
a good
exciting.
Party game, I always recommend Gang Beasts. I feel like that's the go-to.
Yeah.
Because
you just hand them a controller.
Yeah. And you don't need to be really good at it.
Yeah. You could get lucky.
Yeah. You can totally get lucky. And it's hilarious. It's always, it sets a great mood.
I mean, hate to bury it, but like Mario Party, I know it's not on the. There's still not an equivalent on the PC.
What's the other one? Move or Die, I think is...
Move or Die is fun.
That's a pretty good
one.
You
definitely need some like platforming skills for Move or Die.
Yeah, and that one's designed to be more of a drinking game.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
What was that? What was that website that you guys used for Cards Against Humanity? Remember that? That was really like intuitive. Like, there wasn't really any... learning curve.
It was like a... It was a web browser, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was.
I've never been on one of those nights, but I heard that you guys played that. I might have played like one hand of it.
I can't remember what that site was, but yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, next question from Hogglefosh. Any games that you think that any games that you think was nearly great but had some fatal flaw?
I mean, oh, fatal flaw. I was going to say almost every game has something like a shining bad thing to it. Fatal flaw means like it's so good, but you won't play it.
Ruins the game.
There's something we need.
Great, but then had a fatal flaw. I don't know.
Death Stranding and pacing for me.
Yeah, there
like
was
Death Stranding was such a cool game. Like the concept was nice, but the pacing was god awful.
Yeah, all the traveling, right? Killed it.
It wasn't just the traveling. It's just like, you know, I want to see my somewhat dead mother, but, you know, it's going to take 7 hours to get to the end of that storyline. It's you know, a lot of the pacing of the story, like it got too meta or too trying to pull at your heartstrings to make the game good. Like I thought the idea of the game and the funness of the game was there. It just took way too long.
Chi says that Mass Effect 1 with a Mako car. And
oh, 100%. Yeah.
I will say that like
it's a problem for a lot of people.
All the Mass Effects are flawed in a different way. But overall, as a unit, it's a great game, great franchise, and definitely worth playing. Geez, man, I really don't know. I'm at a loss at this one.
Yeah, I don't run into that very often where like I'm just blown away by a game, but there's one thing about it that is just completely ruining it for me. I don't know.
Maybe Mortal Kombat and its lack of me being able to be good at it, like fighting games, just how much I need to.
Yeah. That is a problem for me with some games like Rocket League. It's like great game. Wish I was good at it, but you can't blame the game for that.
Right.
All right. This question is from Ice House. Would you rather deal with being blind and running super fast or being able to go invisible and having to yell the whole time?
Oh, definitely invisible, because you wouldn't want to talk when you're invisible. Not very well thought out, Ice House. Sorry, Ben. Right?
Let me give you
a blind, but you have to yell the whole time.
Yeah, but why would I? Oh, like
Like you're invisible, but you have to yell the whole time you're invisible.
I thought it was the only way you can communicate. Okay.
I got one for you. Would you rather have to run everywhere you have to go, or yell every time you have to talk?
I'm going to have to go with...
I wouldn't mind running everywhere I have to go. It sounds like great exercise.
But what if you had to go across the country?
I would run on a plane.
Bobby cracked the code.
He did.
Bobby's the smartest one in the room. He got it.
I would be invisible and have to yell the whole time. Because I would still do pretty well in warfare, I feel like.
Okay, but why are you going into war?
Because I'm invisible.
That's not even how war works anymore, dude.
We can't see him, but we can hear him, but it's really loud.
The Llorono. Wait, I don't know how to say that.
I would probably, I don't know, I think I'd take the first option, being blind, but have to, I don't know, I wouldn't want to be blind, though. But then I get a sore throat from yelling. Really, some bad options here. I'm just going to pass on all those. I'll just stay a regular guy.
Remain normal,
that's
Bobby.
That's not an option, Bobby. All right.
Last question from Lil Mousepad. What do you think the meaning of life is, and do you think that humans can reach a fourth dimensional plane of understanding?
42 is the answer.
Oh, Jesus.
The meaning of life is have as much fun as you can and make and help other people do the same thing before they die. Fourth dimension, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Fourth dimensional plane of understanding? Yeah, I don't know, man. It's pretty out there.
My statement on this is I think the meaning of life is similar to what Emilio said. I think it's have as much fun as you can, meanwhile making life easier for the people that come after you. As far as fourth dimensional plane of understanding, you're going to have to go with Joe Rogan on this one, do some ayahuasca and see the elves, maybe.
Maybe.
You know, that might be the thing, but that branches out to another question. Do you think aliens are interplanetary or interdimensional? So, What about you, Bobby?
Aliens, intergalactic, planetary. Planetary, intergalactic.
All right. What are we playing next week? I don't know. It's all up to my fucking work, man. I put in 80 hours, and this week was 70 hours, you know, and then the drive and then chores. I don't have time for fucking shit. So I don't know.
Probably The Witcher 3 and maybe probably To the Top if I remember to take the VR home.
It'll be playing the game of taking care of Vivian, doing the raid on Wednesday and Thursday, and playing Cyberpunk on Thursday.
There you go. Cyberpunk comes out Thursday, so brace yourselves. Somebody in chat mentioned the Star Wars CCG game, and I have been watching a lot of those games. It takes about an hour to play a game, sometimes even a little bit longer.
Watching?
No, to play a game. I mean,
but you said you watch.
I've been watching them. Yeah, and I've been watching them because I haven't been playing.
Watching who?
You can watch other people play games.
No, I know, but they're streaming or you're watching pre-recorded videos?
No, on the website where you play. It'll tell you all the games that are happening. You just click on like, hey, watch this. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, but I would love to get into playing that again. And if anyone wants to learn, you know, Sniper, we took a crack at it a while ago, but I think we were doing it all wrong. We got to pick their pre-made decks. Because they've got a bunch of pre-made decks in there, and we just got to use those ones rather than the ones I was trying to create. Because I was kind of messing that up. But
so
down, like everything I bring up for you to play, you say no. So yeah,
welcome.
Ooh, play you Magic.
Oh, you were on that. You were on an RTS or a 4X strategy kick, trying to get me to buy another Tropico game. Not falling for that again, dude. I buy Tropico 6, and they're like, Tropico 7's coming out tomorrow. Yeah, falling for that one before.
Chris, how good or how bad or how much do we need to play Squadrons?
Man, Squadrons is super fun. If you played X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter growing up, you need to play it because you feel like you're a kid again. The graphics are awesome. And I even bought a little flight stick so me and my buddy could play up together. And dude, it does get old. Like, it is just a flight. It's just a dogfight game. There's nothing else about it. But the simplicity, I think, is why it's so fun. It's all about how you move your ship and stuff. So
why haven't you played this, Bobby?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried it's going to be like a Battlefront experience. You know,
no,
like,
dude. Battlefront, I know what you're saying with Battlefront 2 being super burnt out after 4 hours, but it's not like that. Battlefront 2 got it visually right, but this just feels great. You have to have a flight stick, though, or in VR with a flight stick is like how people are recommending it to be played.
Flight stick. Wow, yeah, I don't know about that.
All right. Well, Nick, what are you playing next week?
I already said WoW and
Cyberpunk. Oh, that's right. All right. Speaking for Bobby, Nick, Chris, and myself, no time for titties. Bye. Was Activate Windows on the entire stream?
That's been on there for months. It doesn't show up on stream.
Yeah. Not that it really exists. That's why.
Yeah.
It's not
that we're using a non-activated version of Windows.